This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Wells Tech is on the air. This is episode 439 for April 6th, 2016, otherwise known as Get Out and Walk Day or Red Shoelaces Day or something like that. And in the red shirt in the other corner in New Ulm, Minnesota, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally.
Good afternoon, Martin. Good to see you. And yeah, planning on doing some walking today. I think it's a heart association thing, but a good thing to think of.
Now, you showed me some your red shoelaces before. You got to show everybody else.
You have to wait for my pick of the week for that. Sorry.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A little suspense we'll build there.
Red shoelaces coming up.
Yeah.
All right. How was your Easter?
It was lovely. Full of celebrations. What about yours? You were on the road, I believe.
I was on the road. We were down in Texas and spent Easter morning for the second year in a row in an outdoor sunrise service at Holy Word in Austin, Texas. My son and daughter-in-law go there, and rained on us again, but it was just a light mist. It did not dampen our spirits or the celebration that we had there that our Savior had risen. So it was fun. It was very nice. And you carried on without me last week very admirably with our good friend Jason Schmidt talked all about robotics. You guys had a good time,
right?
I noticed.
All good things and commendations go to Jason because he always brings his A game and a lot of sunshine along for the ride. And yeah, I was super fired up about robotics. If you guys haven't watched that show, I encourage you to go back and watch because Jason had a really neat experience to share and really motivational to bring STEM learning into the classroom with robotics. So
yeah, he's all about that and 3D printing, and you guys are kindred spirits that way.
Yeah, so all kinds of good stuff. So he's a lot of fun. He told the story I told my kids later about tapping into engineering type minds in his scope of reach there in the Omaha area, and that one grandmother was retiring from the Mars Rover project on NASA, and she was going to help them with their robotics team next year, and my boys were just like, wow, can you imagine having somebody from the Mars Rover project on your robotics team? So good stuff.
Very cool. Well, our topic for the day is one that we visit every once in a while, comes up in the book we've been writing as well. But is a frequent topic that I get to speak on at different workshops and such, and that is productivity. And this is more on the personal side of productivity, although we'll probably touch on professional productivity and team productivity in our conversation. But I'm going out to Cleveland, Ohio next Monday and Tuesday to a pastor's conference. They've asked me to come out and talk about productivity, and I thought, well, maybe we'd leverage some of the research and the prep that I've done. We could share that and kind of refresh everybody's memory on the available tools that are out there for personal productivity in particular, because the tool sets change very rapidly. There are things that come on the scene that help us become more productive, keep things in order, help us remember what our priorities are, and storage and all things electronic are really helpful in this world of trying to be as productive as we can. So I think we get a lot of questions on it, and we have conversations with different people who talk about it. I think most recently with our good friend Rob Gunther, the Faster Pastor, who has a site all about productivity as a pastor.
Right, and I think that solo pastor role, the principal role, those kind of roles obviously probably need a good starting point to wrap their hands around, almost like they're running a small business in their church and school,
right.
All the different skills and processes that they have to be masterful of and use their time wisely to keep all those balls in the air kind of thing. So I definitely think productivity is a topic for them. I think it's a topic for anyone who wants to get the right things done, you know, make the right choices and use their time as efficiently and wisely as possible, keep a good balance between work and home life. All those different things kind of clamor for personal productivity. And certainly, you know, many people out there are already doing this, but I would think, like you said, new tools and things, you're going to want to refine that over time.
Right. Within reason, obviously there needs to be a good reason for it. And I think maybe the better word to use in our circles, certainly, rather than productivity, would be good stewardship, you know, good stewardship of your time and talents. And like you said, get the right thing done at the right time for the right reason. And those are all the tenets of a good stewardship approach to your life. There are others, but I think that whether you're pastor, teacher, staff minister, lay worker, and you're about ministry, you're going to want to handle the time and the talents that God has given you with care and figure out how to implement your projects and the things that you do in the best possible way. So where would you like to start?
Well, actually, you know, just the thought of this kind of makes me a little nervous. So maybe I'll say, if you have a personal productivity approach already, we're not asking you to change it. We have a lot of tools to share, but maybe consider retraining yourself on one or two of them, especially if there are things about what you're doing currently that aren't as full as you'd like them to be. Now that you've adopted something, maybe you see holes or gaps in what it can do for you or whatever. So one of the main places to start, I think, is just with your calendar and how you keep up with the events you're supposed to be a part of. And for me, calendaring kind of takes two different angles. I use Outlook calendaring for work, and I use Google calendaring for personal life. And what's nice about it is that I use my smartphone to marry those two together, because I guess in general, they don't speak to each other real clearly. They don't integrate easily. But by bringing them both into a smartphone kind of device, I can see my calendar across all the spectrums.
Yeah, you make a great point. Calendaring is where it all starts, because these are really the commitments that you have made. So things that go on your calendar are commitments you've made to yourself or to others. So you're looking at your calendar, it kind of is the holy ground of your productivity approach, because these things you have to do, and you really want to kind of treat it that way. So only put things on your calendar that you're really committed to. I see a lot of people try and use their calendars as a to-do list, where they're putting things on that they hope to get done, and there are other better places for that, other better technology to use to put those task lists together. But your calendar should be kind of the hardscape of your day. It should be things that you know you're going to do in the time slots that you're going to do them. And as you mentioned, one of the great things about managing calendars today is you can always have it with you. There used to be a time where you had something maybe in a more analog form where you could carry it around, or people use desk calendars. Remember those? You put them on your desk, you write it in the square blocks, or you kind of pencil it in on a calendar on the refrigerator, and you could only make schedule changes or make commitments if you were by that calendar. Now, with electronic calendars, you have the opportunity to have it on your mobile device, have it on the computer, tablet, whatever, and they sync. And that's really important. And you can also share it and do calendar inviting and those kinds of things, which is really, I can't even imagine doing my job without that functionality, being able to schedule meetings and push out a meeting invite and get other people to join me and using the same system.
I agree, Martin. One of the things that's kind of ringing in my mind right now is that it's a trusted system, and that's a getting things done David Allen phrase, to put your brain into a trusted system. And I think calendar's got to be the number one that you trust, and you've got to trust it to remind you at the right time when things are coming up. And obviously, both Google and Outlook would do that. You can use add-on things. We've talked a lot in the past about follow-up then, a calendar, or a reminder tool that'll kind of email you at the date and time that you want to be reminded of something. So not specifically a calendar, but maybe even task oriented or whatever, things that you need to see at a certain date and time, you can schedule that with follow-up then. So that's one option. Martin, I know you use something called Fantastical. Is that
right? I don't use it all the time. I think it is something that we should mention, though, on the show, because it has gotten a lot of press lately for some of the improvements that they made. Just kind of a real nicely done user interface. There is both, I think it's Apple only, so if you're in the iOS world, this is something that you've probably even heard of or heard recommended that really syncs well with all the cloud-based calendars that we've been talking about, and just as a nice, it kind of makes calendaring fun, if that's possible. So Fantastical 2 just came out, and we've got an iPhone and an iPad version, and I think there's a web interface as well. So it kind of checks all the boxes as far as, you know, the ability to have it on different devices and have it available wherever you go, and makes it kind of fun. So those are the big ones. We talked about Outlook. We talked about Google, Fantastical. Almost every platform or system, email system, has it, you know, kind of built in, whether that's Yahoo or whatever. So it's kind of a no-brainer. The nice things that maybe you want to think about when you are trying to settle on a calendar is the things that it can also give you. So does it have task management, for instance? So if you've got to use a separate thing for calendaring versus task management versus, you know, communications, those kinds of things. It's kind of nice. I really like that about Outlook, is you kind of got all those rolled into one, and that makes it a more useful system for us. So calendaring, reminders is obviously part of that. The next bucket and the most natural step would be those things that don't go on the calendar, but those things that you have to remember to do or be reminded to do in some way, shape, or form, maybe at the earliest possible convenience for you. So you can't put it on a calendar saying, I'm going to do this tomorrow at 1 o'clock, but you put it on a task list that says, I need to do this, and I need to find a spot in my day sometime soon to do that. And there's a whole suite of those kinds of task management tools. One that, Sally, you and I spend a lot of time with is Trello, right? Tell us about Trello.
Sure. Trello is all card-based, so you organize your task on different lists. The lists are part of a board. You can have multiple boards, and then for each list, you can have multiple cards, and you can label them and add people to them. It's just got a lot of slicing and dicing kind of technology where you can make it fit whatever your needs are. If you want to add dates to your task, that can happen. It can certainly email you reminders based on dates. Just very full featured. As you have cards, a lot of times they have you set it up kind of in a maybe what you might call Kanban type methodology, where you move the card through things to do, things you're currently doing, and things you've completed or done. And that's actually the example I have on the screen right now, kind of shows it that way. You put your ideas back here, and when you agree that you're going to do them, and then when you decide to do them and when you mark them done, you can just kind of slide those cards along and see your progress visually as you complete whatever task you have. So lots of ways you could do this. You could do one big gigantic Trello board that has all your tasks, and maybe use labels to organize them and slim it down at times, filter your view for a certain label for a particular project or whatever. Or you could have multiple boards and dedicate individual boards to individual projects. That's kind of what we do in the technology office. So you shift gears, you put on a different hat. When you go to a different board, you have different things to do there. But I guess we could probably shout out to our friend Julie WagonConnect. She taught a class on Trello this past summer at the Wells Tech Conference, and she really got us looking at it a little bit closer, I think. She did a great job with that and gave great examples of how it could be used. And her presentation and her Trello board are actually archived online, so maybe I'll dig out that link, and if somebody wants to explore, that would probably be a really great place to start.
Yep, we even had her on the show to talk about it in advance of the conference, and she's certainly a fan, and I think we're converts as well. I've seen all kinds of uses of Trello boards for, you know, things like honey-do lists all the way through, you know, more massive projects, some of the things that we do at the Synod, multi-language publications, you know, which is where Julie got involved, was, you know, kind of the first, you know, to adopt it in our circles, and I think they're still using it to a great degree in a lot of their projects. And it's the one thing I like about I like a lot about it, but one of the things that really impressed me about it is its flexibility. You can use it in a lot of different ways. It's not hard to learn. You know, it's not like Microsoft Project where you got to understand Gantt charts and resources and those kinds of things. You can kind of make it do whatever you want, and I think it would appeal to a lot of people, whether you're a, you know, school principal or a teacher, pastor, church council, whatever. Lots of, I think, reasons to use it in that online collaboration piece. It, too, has mobile apps, so you can see those on the run as well. So that's another box they get checked in their favor.
Yeah, you just said online collaboration. I don't think I had said that, but definitely it's a cloud-based tool, so you can get to it from anywhere that you have an internet connection. And multi-language publications is one example of a group that takes big advantage of that, because they're all over the world and they're making use of it. So maybe your circuit pastors, for instance, would have a Trello board that you would use for some planning purposes or whatever it may be, and you don't all have to be in the same location to make use of it, have conversations on it kind of Facebook style and things like that. So
very easy to get into, because there is no cost to it. There are paid for freemium type model versions of it, but ultimately you don't have to pay anything to try it out, see if it'll work for you. Maybe we ought to talk about our old friend, the mind map. We use it day in and day out. We definitely use it for the show. It, too, has the ability to kind of capture not just brainstorming and meeting notes, but also tasks. It does integrate with Outlook, but I've seen a lot of different people use mind maps for task management as well. You can combine tasks, group them, organize them, shuffle them around, give them dates, those kinds of things. Most mind mapping software provides that kind of functionality, and again, gives you some planning capabilities too for project management. So a lot of things going for mind mapping software. We happen to use something from MindJet called Mind Manager, but there are a lot of other resources out there. FreeMind, XMind, MindMeister, which is an online version. Lots of different opportunities for mind mapping.
A couple of others to mention in this category, and sometimes there's a crossover. One is Todoist. It's another list type function. It has a mobile app that goes along with it and allows collaboration as well.
Yep, so they were just in the news because they just launched their Windows 10 app. So you can go to the Windows 10 store, search on Todoist, and find kind of a neat interface that they've built. So that's available multi-platforms, and that's not a bad thing to have either, that if you're working in a team or you know, have a need to be on different platforms, some of these tools cross those platforms. So Todoist is actually very simple, but gets the job done. I think in almost any task management tool that you're going to use, one of the features that you'll want to make sure is in there is the ability to tag or categorize things, because you do want to have some kind of organizational tools rather than just kind of the simplistic, you know, the overly simplistic, you know, now you need a list for this and a list for that, because you do want to slice and dice it in different ways.
Definitely. Two we mentioned here, OneNote and Evernote. We've talked about these multiple times on the show, Martin, and they're actually going to come up again in the future. But OneNote, Evernote for note-taking we'll talk about, but also just for keeping up with project status or task or things like that.
Yep. And again, we're going to talk about these in the last category, but I think one of their biggest benefits is, again, their flexibility. You can throw almost anything at it and it's going to capture it. So.
And then lastly, I wanted to make sure and mention Basecamp. I had a really good experience using Basecamp, another cloud-based tool that allows collaboration with teams. And it has to-do lists. It has, you know, you can create checklists. You can have conversations. You can set deadlines and things like that. It's a project management collaboration kind of tool. And this is what we used to redesign the MLC website. So we had a pretty small core team that were working on that. And we were in, you know, the same place, all on campus at MLC, but not always able to get together and meet face to face. And Basecamp every day would prompt us for, you know, input, what's on your task list for today and things like that. We would use it quite extensively for communication and such.
Yep.
Great tool.
And we use it on the Wells Hymnal Committee as well. So I'm somewhat familiar with it. I think you've had more experience with it than I. There's a free version of that as well, also as a paid version. I think some would question, well, especially those that aren't in virtual teams, would question, well, we meet and, you know, we see each other face-to-face, et cetera, et cetera. I think there's some value in using some of these digital tools just to capture content and commitments and reminders so that you don't have to kind of think back, well, what did we say at the last meeting? You've got it all written down. Mm-hmm. You can go to it. And there's kind of a good feeling you get when you can cross stuff off a list, hit a checkbox or whatever, and see it, you know, disappear or put a line through it saying, hey, that one's done. And it also is helpful to kind of see the tasks at hand. You know, is this, you know, what do we have ahead of us? Are we biting off more than we can chew? If you put it all down in a system like this, you kind of look at it from a 30,000-foot view and say, boy, I'm not sure we're going to be able to get this done in time, or maybe we need to pare back or prioritize. So, you know, having some of that captured in more of a structured system like Basecamp is really good for that. So that would be kind of a reason to consider something like that, even if you are kind of a close-knit team and you see each other all the time. But I think more and more, Sally, a lot of our churches and schools are working virtually. You know, people are working off hours. They're not always at the same place, same time. They don't have the opportunity to kind of meet that way. And then your volunteers, too. So.
Yeah, I was just reminded of our treasure house project and buying a new building, and we actually put everything in Trello, and it helped us just to see the volume, like you were saying.
Right.
But, you know, we're all right here in the New Ulm area, but not able to all get together and coordinate our schedules by a long shot on a daily basis and stuff. So it helped
very
a lot.
Challenging, yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So we should probably move to the third of the four buckets that we wanted to talk about. So we've talked about calendaring and reminders. That's kind of where it all starts. Those are the commitments that you've made. And then task lists, which kind of capture all the other commitments that you've made, but maybe don't have a time attached to them. You're getting to them as soon as you can. Now, we've only talked about kind of capturing what you have committed to do. We haven't talked about how to do it. There are some tools that you can use. Virtual tools that help you communicate and talk to other people. And many times your tasks involve communicating with other people, having conversations, getting teams together, getting stuff done. And that's kind of that third bucket of communications and what we call collaboration, the ability to get together and kind of work through things. And we've talked about some of these tools already. Obviously, your email client is going to be front and center. Email is still the way people communicate and make sure the tasks get done in an appropriate way. So both you and I use Outlook and Gmail. I think we probably use it the same way, that we use Outlook for our professional lives and we use Gmail for our personal lives. And again, one of the big advantages with either of those clients is the ability to have them on the mobile devices.
Absolutely. But besides doing the email thing, which is still very much prominent in our lives, a lot of collaboration is a lot more real time now. Things like instant messaging tools. So I work virtually with all the team in Milwaukee, and I feel like they're right next door to me because I can chat with them at any point, and I can tell their status and stuff. We do it using Skype for Business, but there's other tools. There's Slack. We also have Yammer in place where we can do more global communication with groups of people and things like that. So lots of different instant messaging type tools. I even thought of, Facebook and Google communities, Facebook groups, Google communities, where you could have a group come together, an affinity type group for a project or whatever it might be that you need to pull the people together. Keep it completely private, but use these social media tools to do your more instant type collaboration. So yep. No shortage of tools there. If I were to say a favorite, I'd probably, I don't know. I live in the Skype world. I think that's probably the one that's nearest and dearest to my heart.
But. And that's probably the most ubiquitous across, you know, our listeners too. Everybody, I think, knows about Skype, has used Skype. So a lot of people don't think of Skype as kind of video conferencing, but you can do audio conferencing and then obviously the chat piece that you talked about. So again, that's another category, I think, of the world in which we live. We've got computers with cameras built into them and microphones and the opportunity to see somebody like we're doing now over Google Hangouts or through Skype is a real win for teams as they try and get stuff done, as you try and check those things off your task list. And you can easily reach out to somebody, have a video conference and get stuff done.
You know, I'm also reminded of our Wells Tech conference and all the planning that we put into that. Shout out to our friends who were on the planning committee who worked so hard. We started with one tool and it didn't seem to work for everybody, and so we switched to another. So that's one of those things where you may not want to invest the time, but if the tool's just not meeting your needs for whatever the reasons are, there's barriers there or whatever, you know, don't be afraid. Know that in this day and age, there are other tools that you can explore and keep looking around, because there's just a real variety out there.
Yep, lots of options, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, technology is supposed to help you, not hurt you, frustrate you, so keep that in mind as you move forward with tool selection. Mm-hmm. The last bucket, so we've talked about calendaring, we've talked about task management, we've talked about communication and collaboration. The last kind of big bucket, which really is a challenge for a lot of people trying to optimize their, you know, productivity, is what do you do with all the stuff? You know, there's mm-hmm. assets that are created, documents, note-taking, meeting notes, attachments, those kinds of things. What do you do with all that, those supporting assets and the outputs of your tasks? Lots of different options there. We mentioned one before. My favorite, OneNote. I really, every time it comes up, you know, on the show, I kind of smile, because I guess I could not function without that tool in my life at this point. OneNote is just kind of that catch-all. It works very similar to an analog notebook or notebooks. You can have dividers or tabs. You can have single pages, sub-pages, and you can put almost anything you want on any one page. It can be, you know, just text that you would write. You can even draw on it. You can put attachments into it. You can put checklists on it. You can embed audio. You can embed images. You can record video, and it all kind of comes together. That's probably the killer feature in my mind of OneNote, is everything about whatever task or topic that you're on can go on a single page or in a single section, even emails. So you're not having to look in three or four different places. It's all in one place. Microsoft has just done an awesome job with OneNote.
Yeah, I guess I'm smiling a little too, believe it or not. It's taken me this long to hear you say that over and over, but I've kind of converted to the same mentality about OneNote, and I see its power. It's very free form, so like you said, anything can go in there. I spend a lot of time trying to make things look more uniform and more presentable, perhaps, but I've even begun to use it to capture things that I want to share with others in a more professional looking way, and kind of realized its capabilities with print, you know, even if I'm just printing to PDF to share with someone or whatever it may be. I mean, obviously the OneNotes are collaborative. I can share, you know, just the notebook and people can access it that way as well. So just lots of different directions to go with it. And I think it just kind of takes diving in. This was a tool that I had to kind of make myself adopt and begin to use.
And use it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then the sky's the limit. You can do a lot with it. So.
It used to be, I think Evernote used to rule this category, but I think they're taking a different track, and I don't think they're as popular as they were. They've had some financial problems. They've closed down a lot of their side projects. I think they're just they're in survival mode. So I see OneNote kind of exceeding Evernote, you know, at some point in the near future. Then you've got kind of your document storage cloud-based solutions. And we've talked about these many times on the show, Dropbox and OneDrive and Google Drive are all examples of that, where you can throw a lot of stuff in there. They all have different kind of organizational models, and they all have their strengths and weaknesses. But again, a centralized cloud-based storage solution is probably the way to go, especially if you work in teams where you have to share documents versus kind of that attachment model with email. So all kinds of opportunities there. And There are no shortages of these cloud-based solutions right now.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the church or school office with all the different forms they have and things like that. The minutes from all the different meetings that happen on just a monthly basis and at church. All of those kind of things can benefit from that collaborative nature and the security that's built in and all of that kind of stuff. I just can't imagine somebody trying to pull it off efficiently in a church or school office these days without that kind of stuff. And you've got to believe that your membership, maybe we're always a little slow, but are behind the curve as well. But I think your members are beginning to expect this kind of thing.
Well, they see it in their workplace. So I think they're bringing that into the congregations, into the coordinating council meetings and the PTA meetings or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was just in our technology committee meeting a few weeks back, and we're still rocking a file server and trying to figure out how to get off of that because it's a maintenance issue, mm-hmm. it's a backup issue. It's just not, it doesn't provide half of the features that you could get in a cloud-based solution. So we're going to try and get everybody moving on to Google Docs, and I think everybody will benefit as a result. There's one little last kind of subcategory that we've left to the end, which I know in the world in which we live, this kind of web-based world, is really kind of a staple, and that's the ability to bookmark stuff, know where you've been on the web. And there's all kinds of tools here, two that we've talked about in the past, Pinboard and Digo. Both have some strengths and weaknesses, but you need some kind of system to track important sites, locations, resources that you found on the web, whether you're a teacher, pastor, whatever. There's stuff out there that you want to remember, and then maybe you want to even annotate or tag in a certain way so that you can share it or come back to it when you need it.
Yep, I'm a big fan of Digo. I know you use Pinboard. I think, again, just adopting one or the other and beginning to use it and see the power of it is really what's going to sell you on it. It's your favorites bar available to you 24/7 from any computer that you go to. And one of the biggest uses of Digo for me is that chicken and dumplings recipe that I love, you know, and I know I can go back there and type chicken and dumplings and it's going to come up. So, you know, just those little hooks in your brain and a place to go to find it without having to start all over again every time.
Countless, I'm sure, hours have been spent, days have been spent trying to re-find something you found once and now have forgotten and have to go through that same process.
Not me, not my chicken and dumpling recipe. I can get to it every time.
That's right. All right. Anything else you want to say on productivity, Sally?
Well, probably just that we'd love to hear from our listeners. As usual, Wells Tech is listener-driven, and I bet there's tools that we haven't even looked at, Martin, and we'd like to hear about how our listeners are using them and how it's helping them in their ministry efforts. So please do contact us with your feedback.
Yep, wellstech@wells.net, or go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net. We're on all the social networks, lots of opportunities, but let us know what you think. Fun topic. I always enjoy talking about productivity. I'm looking forward to my Monday and Tuesday with the pastors out in Cleveland, Ohio.
Watch out, Cleveland, huh?
Yeah. Let's move on to our news in tech section. A lot of stuff coming out of Amazon. You've heard about the Echo. there seems to be a similar product that they've just announced.
That's right. Kind of a kid sister to the Echo Dot. So same personality, Alexa in any room, and Alexa can play your music or give you the current news or whatever it is that you're interested in reaching from the internet. Also help to control things like your
home automation system.
That's the word I'm looking for, home automation. So all those exciting things that you can add in your home. Well, now Echo Dot can do that for less than $100. So the Echo has a really nice room-filling speaker. Mm-hmm. And that adds about $100 to the price tag for that speaker. Echo Dot has a built-in speaker, but it's about like the kind of speaker that's on your cell phone or whatever. Right. It's not a huge room-filling speaker, but it has all the same functionality. And this came to our attention because our friends over at CNET gave it a really amazing review. They really like the Echo Dot. They see the world going toward more and more of these home automation type systems, and this is just a really affordable way to get in on that technology. I had to laugh because one of my favorite TV shows is Castle, and he has an automated helper. It's a pyramid looking thing. I'm sure it's something they made up, but it's really fun to see them portray it on the show. It kind of rules his life, and mm-hmm. I don't know if Dot would do that or not, but fun technology.
So it seems, and I haven't looked into this real closely, but it seems like this is for those who want to have that capability, the Amazon Echo capability throughout the house. Mm-hmm. So a little bit cheaper version, so you'd have your Amazon Echo, but these, I'm assuming, would work with it and kind of give you that smart house approach.
Right.
Turn lights on, change thermostats, get answers to your burning questions about whether your baseball team's winning or not, those kinds of things. If anybody, I do not have one. I've been interested in seeing how they work, but if anybody has experience with Amazon Echoes, we'd love to hear that as well.
Definitely.
Let's move on to Wells Now.
And not one, but two exciting announcements for the Wells Now category. I'll first share my screen and share the brand new updated ConquerorsThroughChrist.net website, recently relaunched with a new look and feel. Conquerors Through Christ focuses on gospel-based answers to porn addiction. And they have a Facebook page you can like on there and just all kinds of resources that they put together on this topic. And I think you can even reach out to them and they can give you more or give you a personalized help if you're looking for some help here. So take a look at the site, be familiar with it. I think it's something that would be nice to be able to reference if you do come across situations where you need to assist someone if they have some challenges in this way.
Yeah, definitely much needed in the age in which we live, and they've done a nice job with that website. So
that's right. And also in the Wells Now category, we need to make mention that a new month has dawned, and we have a brand new photo challenge. So all throughout the year, we've been running a photo challenge where people can submit photos. We have some great prizes we'll be giving away at the end of July. And this month, for April, our category images that we're looking for are spring, confirmation, and Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes it. So I found a really nice springtime happening. Actually, this picture comes from my front yard where the trees are budding. So we're looking for spring around here in Minnesota, and we'd love to see what spring looks like in your neck of the woods as well as any related to confirmation and Romans 1:16. We will add them to our photo challenge album, which is growing. Let's see, we have 548 photos now, and this is a public domain album, so you can make use of these lovely images, and I think they'll live on for a long time and be used in a lot of different ministry type settings, and they're high quality images, and lots of possibilities here with these images that are part of our album. So if you haven't looked at it lately, check it out. We got some beautiful Lent and Easter images added recently, and now we're looking for springtime confirmation in Romans 1:16.
Very nice. Yeah, I really enjoy some of the images that are coming through there. And like you said, very, very well done. We have some very talented listeners to Wells Tech. All right, time, I think, for our picks of the week. Sally, what's your pick this week?
My turn first, and I won't keep you in suspense any longer. Today is National Walking Day, and this was something that was promoted among the employees at the Center for Mission and Ministry, the Synod headquarters. And one of the things with National Walking Day is they challenge you to get a pair of red shoelaces. And so I actually, my husband and I got our red shoelaces. Now, every time we lace up our walking shoes, we're going to think about heart health and how just 30 minutes a day can have a huge impact on keeping your temple in its prime condition. And so we actually use a mobile app, tying in a little technology here. We use Runkeeper, a mobile app on our phones to track all of our walks, and it can sync with just your motion of your phone. So it knows a lot about your physical activity, and it has a component where you can add friends. So if you're looking for a little encouragement, I'm always open to new Runkeeper friends, and it's neat to, for instance, Jason Schmidt is one of my friends on Runkeeper. Neat to see when Jason's out there doing it, and it gives me a little more umph to get out and do a little bit of exercise as well. So Runkeeper's just one of many that are out there. Do you use a mobile app for fitness, Martin?
Runtastic is what I use.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm also always looking for new friends there, because that just is a little more inspiration.
Absolutely. So, yeah, if you don't have red shoelaces, they sell them at Walmart, and you can take advantage. We actually got a chart where we could write down for the next 4 weeks the number of minutes of walking, you know, just a little bit more physical motivation in front of us to get that 30 minutes at least in per day. And so I challenge you all to keep yourselves heart healthy and put on your red shoelaces or not, but get out and walk one way or another.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice. My pick is something that I've been using for quite a while, and I just never thought to talk about it on the show. Maybe I've mentioned it before, and that's basically the computer that I use. Now, I use a couple computers. One I use for the podcast and some programming, and that's the Apple MacBook Pro that I use. But my day-to-day computer is a Windows computer, which I'm really impressed with, and I think would be probably helpful for other people to consider. And I've said this before, your computer is really important for knowledge workers especially. If you spend a lot of time on it, you have a lot invested in some of the digital resources that you need to do your job. Don't struggle with the technology. Spend what it would take to put a good quality tool in your hand. It's like digging a ditch or driving a car. You get what you pay for, and it's important to kind of put that in perspective. But the one that I use is a ThinkPad. ThinkPads I like from Lenovo because they're extremely well made. They have a great reputation of having solid hinges and kind of wearing like iron. And recently they've come out with a whole series called the Carbon Series, the X1 Carbon Series, which is what I am using. They call it an Ultrabook. And that's because of its weight. It's extremely light, has a touch screen, but it has an SSD drive in it, which is probably one of the biggest upgrades that you can make on your computer. I know when I went from a spinning hard disk to an SSD drive was a huge upgrade as far as productivity, because it's instant. And it comes on within 5-6 seconds. Opening applications, writing files are all much quicker with an SSD drive, and they fail less often because there's not the damage that could occur if you drop it or jar it or it's rattling around in a backpack or whatever. You do give up a few things with an Ultrabook. You don't have your CD drive or DVD drives. You don't always have all of the built-in ports like an Ethernet port. You have to kind of buy potentially a dongle that comes with it. But I think by and large, those are trade-offs that you are willing to make based on the things that you get along with laptops like these. These aren't cheap. I would say right now you can get this particular model that I'm using for under $1,000. So I think that's kind of the budget that you should be thinking about for a for a computer that you're going to use a lot, especially if you are going to use it a lot and carry it around and it needs to be portable, that's kind of the price that you should kind of budget for. Very impressed with these laptops, and I would highly recommend them to anybody considering a new laptop. It gets very good ratings, and I've never had a single issue with the laptop that I'm using. So that's the ThinkPad X1 Carbon is a particular model, but I would speak highly of most Lenovo Ultrabooks.
So you've got both the Windows machine and the Apple machine at your disposal, and you live on the Windows machine. Is that what you're saying?
My day-to-day, right.
Okay.
It depends on what I'm doing, of course. Like right now, I'm looking at my Apple because that's what we need to do the podcast. But
okay.
I do the video processing there and that kind of thing. So you're not going to do anything. I mean, if you have serious video needs, you're probably not going to need or want an Ultrabook like the X1 Carbon. But I think that's not the typical use case for a lot of our listeners. I think they're using email, browsing the web, maybe listening to audio, those kinds of things, creating documents, etc. These laptops would be perfect for that.
So. They're doing personal productivity. We just already went through that, didn't we?
Productivity machine.
All those things, all those tools we talked about.
Yep. And I would say people ask me, well, should I get a touch screen? I don't have a big need for them. But I do think there are some reasons to use touch screens. I think they're getting better and better, and very often the touch screen is almost the same price as the non-touch screen, and the Windows 10 operating system is optimized for touch at this point, so there's some benefits to that.
All right,
let's move on. Do we have a ministry resource this week?
We do. I'd like to remind our listeners that we're smack dab in the middle of the Gospel Outreach with Media Conference. It's going on for these first 3 weeks of April, and I shouldn't say that. Yeah. Well, last week wasn't fully April. So this week and all the way through next week, we're about in the middle. It'll end on Sunday, April 17th. So the concept is it's an online conference. We had Pastor Tom Custer on recently to tell us a little bit about what they envisioned with this. Now the conference is live. It's at gowm.org and completely free. You can make a donation if you so desire, but basically they've posted a lot of different overview kind of starter information on different topics from experts around
conversation starters and
absolutely.
Kind of some knowledge experts that are sharing their thoughts and are encouraging you to participate.
And they're literally worldwide, so they have speakers from all around the country and also from abroad. So interesting perspectives, all of them. They've organized them into different categories. They have the message, using mobile devices for outreach, reaching out to community from congregation and school, expanding approaches to gospel outreach with media, and encouraging the needed talent, because this media doesn't just get developed in a vacuum. You need some creative people to create the media. So they pulled together articles on that as well. Really exciting to read some of these. There are places for you to comment and have conversation around what was written, share your own experiences, ask questions, whatever it may be. And now's the time to do it, folks, because after April 17th, it'll all just be an archive site. It won't have that live commenting and things available at that point. So definitely head over to gowm.org, and check it out, and then add your 2 cents. And it's interesting for sure and helpful, hopefully, with your ministry efforts.
Yep, very good. Join the conversation there too. We have a featured video this week.
We do, and it actually is based on one of the interesting articles that's there by Jonathan Witte, who's a student at MLC and happens to be your nephew, Martin.
Nephew, right.
And we've had him on the podcast before as well, because he's a very talented photographer and videographer, and he's done some really creative projects, lip dub type projects and things like that. And the title of his article is Christian Media for a Non-Christian Audience. So he's talking about doing things to perhaps go viral in this day and age where you get a whole bunch of likes and a whole bunch of shares and things like that, but giving exposure to your organization in the process. And a really well thought out article, and he features two of his videos. One of them, I just couldn't resist making our featured video of the week. It's called Singing in the Shower, and it's an MLC-based video, but if you notice, actually I was here just yesterday and it was 218,000 likes. Now he has 219,000 likes. This is Jonathan's most popular video. So he's basically done a spoof of a popular pop song, and he did it based on these three guys at MLC and how much they love the cafeteria. And they sing about it in the shower, and it's super hilarious. Just a lot of fun and, you know, very positive happiness going on at Martin Luther College. So, you know, definitely some positive PR there. And it's getting viral type exposure. So kudos to Jonathan, and certainly listen to this young voice, one of several who are featured in the GOWM write-ups and things. But, you know, definitely got some insight into reaching out with gospel media. So
yeah, he's got his picture. I don't know. I've seen him very often in a suit and tie, so it's kind of special too. Yeah, he did some awesome work, and that I didn't realize that they had that many likes on that. That's amazing. So
yeah,
so join that conversation. Yeah, absolutely. Sally, I am looking forward to next week. A topic that we again have talked about in the past, but online learning and the ability to use some free tools out there, specifically Moodle. That is the tool that's used at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. It's also the tool that's used at Martin Luther College. It also has uses, I think, for churches and schools, the ability to kind of use that online learning framework to have that distance learning component. And a lot of our churches and schools need that kind of tool to allow for some of that learning to go on. So all about Moodle next week.
Looking forward to it. Should be a fun conversation.
Yep. Again, join the conversation. Go to our website, wellstech.wells.net. Send us an email, wellstech@wells.net. We would love to hear you. In a couple weeks, we're going to have a community feedback show. We've been kind of hoarding all the feedback we've been getting over the last few weeks, and we will devote a whole show to talking about what you want to talk about. So, Sally, thanks again for your time. Go out and walk. I'm going to go downstairs in the treadmill and do the same. And we will talk to you all next week.